The title this morning is Praise Places You in Victory Lane. Praise places you in victory lane. And this morning, I want to impart some important word about praise. And I want to let you know that praise explodes the strongholds in your life. It begins to break things loose, and God begins to pave a clear pathway for you when you begin to praise Him. Praise places you in victory lane. It sets you apart from the race called life. You're going to go through some stuff, but let me tell you, when you have Jesus, you know that you're going to win. Amen? That you're connected to a winner. Now, I thought about some stuff in the Bible, in the book of Acts. There was a guy named Paul and a guy named Silas. And you remember they got arrested and they had to go to jail, and they didn't do anything really wrong, but they got busted. Amen. And they had to go into this jail cell, and they were put into the inner jail cell. It wasn't just like, you know, they were locked into like a deep hole. Amen. And you see something that these two guys did that was peculiar from what we would do, because you and I would probably be complaining. Get me out. This ain't right. I didn't do nothing wrong. This ain't fair. You know, that would be what we'd say. They didn't say that. They began to sing and songs and to begin to pray, because they understood that if they could get into the presence of God and God would show up, that things were about to change. See, when we begin to complain and murmur and all, God's ear go deaf to you. I don't know about you. I don't hang around people complaining a lot. I try to run as fast as I can. I don't want to hear complaints. Everybody's got complaints. Nothing in your life is perfect yet. We're all going through some stuff. We're all going to go through some stuff. The key is, who are you going to go with? I'm going to go with Jesus. Amen? You look at those Paul and Silas, and they begin to praise God in their situation. And all of a sudden, things began to change. See, the original meaning for the word praise means to bless the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's something I can do to bless the Lord, I want to do that for what He's done for me. And it says that if I praise Him, that blesses the Lord. When I lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus. When I'm going through some hard times and I'm still thanking Him, even though I'm going through some stuff, I begin to worship Him and praise Him and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I know you're going to get me through what I'm going through. Not focused on what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with, but I'm putting my focus above the waterline. Kind of like in that song, Oceans. I'm looking above the wave. So we got to learn how to bless the Lord in every situation, because we have the victory in our praise. And every Christian that's here this morning can experience God's power through His praise. He puts a super on your natural when you begin to praise Him. So this morning, we're going to see what the Word has to say about you know, praising Him. And when you begin to praise Him, you'll find yourself, you're setting yourself up to be on victory lane. God wants you to win. God's created you to be a winner. You're not one of those L7s. You're not a loser. Amen. You might not have everything that you're supposed to have today, but God's going to allow you to have it eventually, as long as you do it His way. We talked last week about your will. If you get your will all the way and start to do His will for your life, it's going to be a heck of a lot better for you. So this morning, shout with me, I'm going to seek the Lord. Touch your other neighbor and say, hey, I'm going to seek the Lord. Because there's something about when you seek the Lord and you seek Him, He's going to show up and He's going to do something. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. This is the New Living Translation interpretation of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. And I don't know if you'd like to have this name, but Jehoshaphat. What's your name? My name is Jehoshaphat. I don't know. So Jehoshaphat was terrified by his news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all of the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. That's the first thing you ought to do. That's the smartest thing you ever do. When you get yourself in a circumstance or situation, you ought to seek the Lord. And when you start seeking Him, you ought to start praising Him. Because when you're in fear, you're not in faith. So you got to dispel that fear by getting into faith, by beginning to praise Him. He seeked the Lord. He looked for direction, and he looked for guidance. He didn't call up 1-900 psychic line. He didn't call 1-800, hey, I need to dial a friend. He went and seeked the Lord. Didn't call five friends up and say, what do you think? What do you think? And try to get all their opinions and see if there was a consensus there. No, he went to God and said, hey, I'm seeking you. What's going on here? I need your direction. I need your guidance. And then he proclaimed the fast. And when you fast, that means it's time that you're spending focusing on God. Now, I'm not a big faster. Amen. There's Daniel fast, and there's this kind of fast. And I like the fast. I don't know about you. Hurry up. Let's get it done. Amen. But there's some times that you have to fast. Now, fast could be meaning, hey, I'm just going to turn off the TV or the radio during that for a few hours, and maybe I'm going to fast TV. Maybe I have my favorite show is on, you know, the cooking channel, and I'm going to take 2 hours today. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend time in the Word. I'm going to fast that program for the whole week or for a month. Or maybe you're going to fast a couple meals, or maybe you're going to fast some things that you want to go do and spend some time with God. It's okay. There's different kinds of fasts. But what you're doing during that time is you're not doing something else, but you're spending time with God, getting alone with Him, and seeking what He desires for you to have. There's a saying in the Bible in James 4:8 says, if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. I don't know about you, I drive a motorcycle. And in this town, people drive crazy. So I always pray, oh Lord God, be near to me, because I know, you know, people around here don't know how to drive. Oh, Pastor, you reckon me. No, I want God to draw near to me because I want His angels encamped around me everywhere I go. You know how you get the angels encamped around you? Just start to praise Him. I don't have a stereo on my motorcycle, but it sure sounds like I have one when I'm praising God. People look at you like you're crazy. I praise Him and thank Him all the day long. Take a look at Matthew 7, verse 7. New Living Translation, Matthew 7, 7 says this. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking on the door, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, except for you, right? That's what you think. Because that's what the devil puts in your head. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds, and whoever one knocks, the door is open to, except for me, because that's what the devil keeps on telling me. So you got to learn that God said everyone who asks. He didn't leave you out. He didn't leave me out. Everyone who asks, receives, everyone who seeks, finds, and everyone who knocks on the door, it will be open. Everyone. Not everyone may be as tenacious as you are to go after God, and that's the reason why some things haven't unlocked in their lives yet. I don't know about you, but I'm an A-type person, so I'm lit up from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. Amen? And I have a task list, A1 through, you know, 50. Amen? And I'm really busy. But it's funny that God always gives you more than you think you can handle. It's going to sink here. He'll always give you more to the person who's busy. Because He knows that you're going to figure out how to get it done. Why? Because the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hit my knees and say, God, how am I going to get this done? I'm going to figure it out in my own way, because my way is going to fail. It'll be a good plan, but it won't be a God plan. God's plan is better than my plan. And sometimes I have to go in my own room and start to praise Him. Lord, thank you for all this extra work that just got dumped on my desk this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God, that person's quitting this day because now I've got three times much work to get done. I got to hire somebody, and now it's going to take more time. Lord, I thank you for it, Lord God, because you're going to bring someone else. Thank you, Lord God, that you're looking out for me. So you got to understand that it's all right to ask God for some things. It's all right to knock on the door and seek him and be diligent of the things. Because God says that he rewards those that diligently seek him. And the question this morning I have for you is, are you seeking him in your prayer? Are you seeking him in your praise? Are you studying the word, or do you just get it on Sunday morning? Do you open up the book other than Sunday? Does it get cracked open maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Because I know that Jesus ain't vacationing from you. He's always available. I know this ain't getting, I get a lot of amens this morning. I know, Jesus. Well, I'm going to help him stay on victory lane, on the path. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the part we don't like. If my people, who are called by my name, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that are called by his name. I'm a child of the Most High God. My elder brother is Jesus. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. I have my Heavenly Father who loves me and created me in his image. I have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of me. It says, if my people who are called by my name, this is the part we don't like, will humble themselves. Not do it your way, not be a show off, not be the big wig, but humble yourself and then pray and then seek my face and turn away from the wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If the United States of America would begin to put prayer back into the schools, there probably wouldn't be as many shootings. If America would call out what terrorism really is and then call upon my name. If you start to call upon my name, I'll take care of the terrorist. I took care of the devil 2,000 years ago, Jesus said. And he was terrorizing people back then. They might not maybe called ISIS, and they might not be called whatever they were. But let me tell you, they were inexistent. And what did God do? What did Jesus do? He put them under his feet. But these are people called by his name. Humbled themselves. I think Jesus, I don't know about you, he humbled himself. He was a pretty good teacher. See, after you seek God's face, there's always a time where God gives you a word. Shout with me this morning, receive the word. Touch your other neighbor, say, receive the word. You got to seek God first, and then you're going to receive the word. It's what you do with the word. How many people you know go church to church to church to church? They have a church event. This guy's in town, this lady's in town, and they go get a word, and they go to word, and they get a word, and they get a word, and they go to all these churches to get all these words, and they never applied the first one that God gave them. I see it all the time. I'm just believing for a word. Really? What'd you do with the other 10 the person gave you before? Why don't you praise him with the word that the first person gave you? Take a look at 2 Chronicles 20:18. We're going to stay in 2 Chronicles just for a couple more minutes. 2 Chronicles 20:18 says this. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Kereth stood praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. See, you got to understand something. Is when you get a word, it will be a lamp to your feet and the light for your path. Upon receiving the word, you got to begin to put it in action and be a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word only. So many Christian people that we know, man, they got that word in them, and they know the word, and they can recite scripture and verse, and they know, you know this and that, and it's all good, but they don't do anything. They're in the same predicament they're in because they don't understand is that there's power released in that word when you begin to praise Him. They have all the word, but they have no power, and they don't understand is that you got to praise God. Don't look at your circumstances and situation. Praise beyond those circumstances here. Don't look at your little minute sickness and then if you already have the word of God about healing, that by your stripes you're already healed, and you begin to do that, guess what? It's going to be like that popcorn. You're going to have the seed. Boom! It's going to take that thing and it's going to have to go. But you got to praise Him. Sometimes we don't like to praise Him. Why? Because it takes up our time. People are going to look at us for it. You can praise Him all day long. Because praising Him blesses Him. I don't know about you. I want to bless the Lord. You look at them. They bowed their head and they worshiped God. And then they began to praise Him. And they went out with a loud word. Right? They said, and they were shouting out very loud. Because there's something about when you begin to praise Him, mountains begin to shake. The things that you started to deal with start to be fuzzy to you because now you're focused on the things of God. The only reason why we do praise and worship on Sunday morning, I don't need it. Because I've already praised and worshiped God before I walked in this door. So I can get right into the Word, boom, like dynamite, go. But we praise and worship Him to set the atmosphere because there's some junk in our trunk that we're arguing on the way here. I mean, I know, man. My wife and I used to argue all the way to church. We get to church and all of a sudden, oh, praise the Lord. Hey, I'm here. Can I work in the children's ministry today? Yeah, I'm going to work in the parking lot ministry. Come on now. Kids agitated you. They were came home late. Went to bed at 1 o'clock and woke you up. Neighbor next door is drugging and doping and drinking and loud music. And you're a little agitated. I get it. Shout, I will praise God. Touch your other neighbor. Say, I want to praise God. So you're going to praise God no matter what you're going through. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 and 23. This is the Message translation. I got a couple different translations because I wanted you to get this morning. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22 through 23. The Message translation says this way. As soon as they started shouting and praising, God set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir as they were attacking Judah. And they all ended up dead. And the Amramites and the Moabites and mistakenly attacked those from Mount Seir and massacred them. Then further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. If God's people want to see the terrorists turn on themselves, all we got to do is begin to praise Him. Because it'll cause confusion amongst them. You need to learn to set your praise in motion no matter what you're doing. You can praise God in your home, your car, your office. You can praise Him anywhere you go. You live in America. You have the freedom that someone fought for so that you can praise Him in the streets. You can praise Him at McDonald's. You can praise Him anywhere you go, but praise Him. Because when you begin to praise Him, it messes up the devil's plans that he had for you. Remember, you have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit on your side. You're never outnumbered. When you walk in, you're never, hey, I got Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. You're going to lead me, guide me, and direct me. Come on now. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible says, enter the gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. That's what the Bible says. God bless you. We need to praise him more. Even though you're catching some hell, praise him. Praise will put you beyond your circumstances and situations and put you on victory lane. God has already said you have the victory in Christ Jesus. If you haven't read the book of Revelation, when you do, you'll find out you win. You already won. But God needs something to work with. God needs you to have some seed, some word in you, so that it can break forth like popcorn when there's some heat getting on you. Amen? See, when Jehoshaphat began to do what Jesus told him to do, he seeked the Lord, took the word with him, and then he began to praise God. The end of the story says something like this. I'll paraphrase it for you. So, after all those armies turned on themselves, Jehoshaphat and his people came away with all the spoils that they found amongst them. In abundance of riches and dead bodies. There was precious jewels that they stripped off the people. There was more than they could carry, and they were there 3 days. 3 days. Say 3 days. Gathering the spoils because there was so much. Jesus rose on the... We got all the spoils. Amongst all the dead. Oh, I was thinking about 12 o'clock. When you praise God, you activate the supernatural in your life. It took 3 days for them to gather up all the spoils because there was so much left. We need to seek God. We need to receive from God. And then we need to praise God for what he's done. Praise elevates us into God's presence and his power. To praise God should be a lifestyle for you and I. We should be praising him all the time, no matter what we're going through. That way you're not focused on your troubles. Troubles come and troubles go. When you're doing his will, guess what? There'll still be some troubles that will come. But they'll also go. You don't think Jesus preaching in the synagogue got him into a little trouble? But it won't affect you because, you know, Jesus went through some stuff. But he praised himself through it. I don't think he wanted to go and get nails pierced in his hands. Although youngsters not like to get those piercings all over their bodies. I don't think he wanted to have thorns on his head. I don't think that was his whole plan. But he said, not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. And I'm going to praise you through the circumstance. I'm going to praise you beyond the situation. To God, praise is a lifestyle. We ought to have a lifestyle of praise everywhere we go. We shouldn't be complaining, I'm going through this today, and this person didn't do that for me, and that person cut me off on the road, and that person don't know how to drive. And all we do is complain the whole time. We ought to be praising. You're only going through the stuff so that you can pass the test. When you fail the test, guess what? You take the test over again. And God doesn't care if you take the test over 45 times. He's just trying to get you beyond the test so that you can get some knowledge from it and move on, because God's got other stuff for you to do. But if you just want to keep on going around the mountain, going around the mountain, you can do that. But if you begin to praise him, the mountain begins to fall and you can see something different along the far way. What is that over there? Oh, I better just praise him. That mountain's going to come down now. That cancer they gave me, I'm going to praise God right through that. I'm going to get right through that. That pancreas disorder, I'm just going to praise God through it. I'm going to get the word in me, and then I'm going to begin to praise him, and then it's going to begin to set that word on fire, and it's going to take whatever's inside of me out of me. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. That worked for me. It didn't work once or twice. It's worked several times for me. They already had a death certificate written out for me several times, but I said, let my Father in heaven decide that day. I know doctors, you're smart, and you got the PhDs, and I got one too, a public high school diploma. I got one of those, amen? But the last time I looked, I ain't checking out until God tells me I'm checking out. But I'm going to praise him, even in the storms, even in the tests, even in the trials, even in the good time. We love to praise God and to go, oh, everything going good, hallelujah, and we're praising. But in the bad time, we're like, man, you know. We'll praise him in the valleys. We praise him on top of the mountain. We praise him all day long. Why? Because I just want a consistent flow in my life. And I'm always here learning something. Lord, what are you teaching me? Don't be religious. Why? Be in relationship. Religious people don't like me too much. Aren't we going to do the Stations of the Cross, Pastor? Aren't we going to do this? Well, those are all good things. I just didn't see the benefit if I could just bring you a word instead. That might help you more. Not that the rituals are bad. Rituals and all those things are fine, but don't let that define your faith. I didn't do that rosary today, and so now I'm going to go to hell. Really? I didn't know that. I'm going to go to Jesus and say, hey, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. I'll have communion again today if I have to. Might have to have it three times that day. Can't get into a systematic way of thinking. All I can tell you is that when I praise him, things begin to break loose. When I pray, things begin to break loose. When I begin to get more of his word, it pushes out the junk of my old bad thinking out. And then God's word comes in and God's way comes in. And then I can have all that he says I can have. My thinking was too light of being a millionaire. I've been a millionaire several times already. Amen. I had no money to show for it when I didn't serve Jesus. But now I'm figuring that my scale is a little wrong. I need to be a trillionaire because someone's got to pay the national debt off. I have to do that. Well, who's going to write that check? It's that pastor down at that Spirit Life Christian Church just paying off the national debt. How'd you do that? Well, let me explain how Jesus works. Oh, you're crazy, Pastor. That's what they thought about Jesus. The same thing. But Jesus praised himself through situations. See, praise sends the devil running. When you begin to praise the Lord, the devil has to run. It confuses him. It messes him up. He's thinking that you should be focusing on your sickness. He thinks you should be focusing on your lack of bank account funds. He wants you to be focusing on all these things. And when you begin to praise God, even where you're at and what you have, it confounds him. It causes him to get jacked up, messed up. You don't know what to do. Wait a minute. They're praising him, and even though they have a little lack right now. They're praising him like they got $1 million, but they only got 2 cents in their pocketbook. It doesn't make sense. I know. Neither did Jesus spitting in mud, putting it in the guy's eyes that was blind made sense to me either. Go wash your eye. Put mud. Well, first of all, the guy can't see, and you're going to put more mud in his eyes so he can't see even more? Made no sense to us. But to Jesus it did. Well, I'm not in a big rush to get to Lazarus. It's okay that he be dead now. Everybody's breaking down, crying, and, you know, 14 boxes of Kleenex was used. He said, no, don't worry, I'm coming. I'm coming. Instead of praising him through the circumstance, then Jesus shows up and says, hey, Lazarus, come on. Hey, yo, you, take those grave clothes off. Come on over here. I want to talk to you. That's how God works. When you begin to praise him, it starts to unlock some things. When you begin to praise God, it puts you in the victory lane. Your victory is already inside of you, but you got to praise it out. Everything you need is already in you. All you got to do is activate it. Didn't Jesus say, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's not changing. He ain't doing nothing new. You're just catching on. I'm just catching on. I'm going, oh, now I get it. Yeah, I read that passage 84 times. Now I got it on the 85th time. Think about that. I'm just going to praise him. I'm going to praise him till I'm exhausted praising him. And then I'm going to wait upon the Lord. Now I'm going to hear his word, and now I'm going to take that word and just not sit on it and say, well, maybe, well, that's going to take some work. I don't know if I want to do that, Jesus. I mean, oh, you're just going to come down and bring me some manna. I'm a little hungry right now. I mean, a bag of McDonald's would be fine. You know, chicken McNuggets. How do you want to bring that to me? I don't want to go out and drive there or walk there. I got the word now. I'm going to just wait. I'm going to wait on the Lord a little bit longer. The Lord's been waiting on you long enough. Go out and do something. Come on. Begin to praise him. And when you begin to praise him, you're going to want to have to do something. All of a sudden, you start praising him. You want to move. You want to shake. You want to do something when you praise him. Because when you begin to praise him and put you into victory lane, I don't know about you, I don't like to lose. I mean, I lived in Detroit, had the Detroit Lions. They've never won a Super Bowl in a long time. So I know what it is. But I'm believing. I have hope. Victory. Y'all in victory lane, if you just praise him, if you just take a little time in your schedule every day and praise him over your circumstances and situations, those things are going to look like you know, an inch tall. And right now, you got these things, I mean, they're standing like pillars bigger than what you are. And you're allowing those things to hold you back and hinder you from what God wants you to have. But if you begin to praise it, it begins to, that pillar begins to shrink down. All of a sudden, it's like, where's that at? Oh, there it is. It's that little dust ball there. Begin to praise him. Praise puts you in victory lane. God wants you to praise him because it blesses him. And when it blesses the Lord, he's going to work out on your behalf. God's into blessing you, if you didn't know that. I'm not saying financially, but I mean, he's there to bless you that area, but I mean, he wants to bless you spiritually. I want more of him. If I can understand more of him, all the financing, all the cars, all the other stuff in my life all comes together. But if I can get more of him, because really, he needs more of me. And if I can dig into getting more of him, then I'll get more, you know, he'll get more of me. And it, guess what? It's going to be this relationship where things are going to really bud and grow. But I got to learn to praise him. If I know something, if my kids know something that's going to please me, they're going to go do it because they know, Daddy gonna pull out a wallet. Yeah, all right. Come over here. Let's go. You're just doing so good. Come on, God. But don't you think God works the same way? Don't you think he wants to bless his children? Don't you think he wants to open up the whole bank account and say, hey, it's all yours anyway? But I need you to praise me. I just want you to conform a little bit. I want you to listen to what I'm saying and be respectful. I just want you to do it my way because my way works 100%. Your way only works some of the time. But when you praise him, he'll show you these things that were jacked up in your life, and you'll begin to change those things. And then you have access to everything that God has. You know that peace that you haven't had? Well, see, and when you praise him, he'll give you peace. That addiction that you're holding on, when you praise him, you can praise the word. When you get the word in and you start to praise, it begins to push the other stuff out. Bye-bye smoking, bye-bye drinking, bye-bye drugging, bye-bye. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes he takes some of those people along with him because they need to get out of your way so you can clean yourself up first. You can't clean somebody else's mess when you're a mess. I was a mess. Trying not to tell everybody how to do it their way. And I would, no. You can speak from your experience once you've experienced it. I can tell what it was to drink too much because I used to drink too much. I used to smoke too much. I used to do this too much. I used to do that too much. I can say those things aren't good. God delivered me. Why? I praised myself and I praised him through in the word of God. And I began to praise him and all these things started to fade away. I don't have a desire for alcohol. People go, I mean, I'm going to go to a football thing tomorrow, and all the guys will be drinking their beer and all that, and I'll be drinking my ice, and don't even affect me. I'm going to be just rooting for my team. My one Monday night football game that I'm going to go to. But see, I'm going to try to be a witness. Praise God, you scored a touchdown! Hallelujah! Come on now. So you think that's crazy? You see, here's what's happened. We have gotten Jesus pined into this box of religion. Jesus hung out like we hung out. Jesus laughed with people. He wasn't all this, you know. I bet he did some pranks on some of the disciples. I think he played around with them a little bit. He was God, man. He had a sense of humor. He did some awesome stuff, but he was still man. He didn't get into sin. Now don't get there. But we put Jesus off that he was like unreal. Like, you know, you couldn't even talk to him. You know, like a lot of pastors in these big churches you can't talk to because they got 19 security guards around them because they got such an anointing upon them. Really? Okay. I'm just telling it. I just keep it real. I praise God way beyond all that. That religion and all that stuff. When people say, you know, how many people you're running? I said, I'm running the right amount of people. You've been doing this 11 years. Why don't you only have like, you know, 40, 50 people? I says, I ran the other ones off. They all went to the other church. They didn't want to hear the word. I don't know. Some of them died. Some went to heaven. Some went before me. Some left. Some went to here. I mean, I'm not a sugar-coated candy rapper kind of teacher preacher. I'm just here to help you. I don't think Jesus was there watering it down. He just gave it to you, and what you did with it's what you did with it. I used to worry about what you guys used to think and say about it. I really don't care. And in a loving way. I mean, you know. I used to worry that, man, you know, maybe the word was too strong and you're not going to do it. The Lord says, well, I made you do it. Why would I make it any different if they can't do it? Maybe you need to move your butt out of the way and let me get in here. Come on now. Oh, Pastor, that's just so. You're only a product of your environment. Because let me tell you, when sickness comes and disease comes knocking on your door and the devil comes wailing hell at you and you've had the word taught to you every Sunday for 52 weeks, you don't even have to call up Pastor. You say, Pastor, I got this testimony. Let me tell you what the Lord has done. Yeah, they gave me this report, but I spoke against the report and believed that I was healed. And now, look, I went through some stuff. I had to go through some tests, and I went through some trials, and I had to go through some chemo, and I had to go through some radiation. I went through all this, but at the end of the day, I still have the victory in Christ Jesus, and now I'm healed by his stripes. Didn't call me up and say, Pastor, can you lay hands on me and pray for me? They just went to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and just got it done themselves. They praised themselves. They praised God enough where it pushed the circumstances out of their lives. Sometimes when you praise God, he pushes people out of your life. Sure weren't supposed to be there anyways. They were clogging up your drain. Come on now. I praise him. Why'd that car break down? Because you got to go to the auto shop where someone probably need to hear about Jesus. We can get all upset. Are you going to cost me $100? Isn't your God bigger than $100? Look at the opportunity he put in front of you. Maybe there's someone there that needs Jesus. Maybe when you start praising him, they're going to throw you out of the store. I don't know. Thank you, Lord God. See, I mean, we get focused on the circumstances and situations of this bad thing that's happened to us, and all of a sudden, well, you know, faith don't work, and God's not here, and you know. Blah, 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 blah. I thank him when opposition comes my way. I told that to my daughter. She was, you know, Dad, this has happened to me, this has happened to me, this has happened to me. All these things are coming against me. I says, because you're about to go into a new season. You're going in to do an internship into a Bible college, and you're going to be like locked away for like 9 months doing all this stuff for Jesus. You think the devil's going to sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to touch her. It's okay. I'll just let her come back. And when she comes to Spirit of Life Christian Church, the place is going to be set on fire, and I don't want that. That's what the devil's saying. I'm going to mess with her. I'm going to tweak with her. I'm going to separate some friends, and I'm going to call. That's just the devil. Holding you back. I just told her, just praise you. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Going through some stuff, praise him. Hey, they diagnosed me with cancer, praise him. Get that word activated in you. car don't start till you put the key in the ignition, turn it, there's gas and everything's ready to go, but until you ignite it. You can't get the system to work so that everything will flow, and then all of a sudden you put it in drive and the thing goes where it's supposed to go. God's just saying, hey, you got everything you need. All you got to do is turn the key, put it in drive. I'm going to take you wherever you need to go, son and daughter. You already have victory lane. All you got to do is praise Him. And I wish I would have brought that song, Praise Him, but I didn't. Yeah. But what we're going to do, we're going to take 30 seconds. We should stand to our feet. Now, and the only reason I say that is because if Jesus was walking in the flesh and coming in and I was introduced to this is my elder brother, you know, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I think I would stand to my feet and lift up a voice and shout and scream and hallelujah. And because I don't know about you, when I check out of here and to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord, you know, and when I'm with the Lord, I don't know about you, but I'll probably be praising Him. I'll be lifting up praise. Every time I see Him, I'll be praising Him again. Oh my God, praise, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to see another facet of God. Oh, I didn't see Him on earth that way. Oh, well, praise God. But if Jesus walked in that door in the natural, He came down this aisle, and if I could do a drum roll, I would, but I don't know how. We would stand to our feet and lift up our voice and shout. And God's asking you this morning, there's some things that have been holding you back. There's some drains that have been clogged. There's some things that need to be activated. God says you've got the seed in you, but it hasn't popped forth yet. And you've been through some heat, and it might even get a little hotter yet. But to know that you're not alone, that you have someone, God bless you, that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you got Jesus on your side. If we know that Jesus is coming down the aisle, see, He's already here. If there is something that you're going through, something you need broken off, something that's been a mountain or been, and maybe it's just been a thorn in the flesh, this morning, just stand up and let's just give God 30 seconds of prayer. I mean, I'm not talking a minute. I'm not talking 10 minutes, you know. But it would be okay if the people down at the Speedy Mart heard us praising God. Because what's going on over in that church? Oh, we're just breaking off demons and we're just getting healed right now. And we're just, you know, because see, when you begin to praise Him, things begin to change. So if you will, just for a second, maybe you need to get a sip of water, whatever you need to do. Just start praising God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you do, Jesus. Thank you for paving the way, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for my health. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you for being our living God. Thank you for being truly your word, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling amongst us. Thank you for the word that's in me, Lord, that's stirred up, Lord. Stirred up, Lord God. Stirred up. Coming out. Bubbling forth, Lord God. Oh, circumstances have to bow to the name of Jesus. Every demon needs to flee. Come on now. How about you? I'm still going to praise Him no matter what's going on. Amen. I'm praising Him for the wholeness in my body. Even though I have an ache, it's gone in Jesus' name. I'm going to praise Him that I'm complete in Him. I'm going to praise Him for all that He's already done. Oh, the car that should have killed you, but it didn't. I'll praise Him and thank Him for it. For that mountain that has been removed. For that sickness and disease that's gone away. For the blood of Jesus that's washed you and cleansed you and made you fresh and new. Think about the sins no longer carried on you if they've already been put at the cross. So you don't have a heavy burden anymore. Now you can kind of get up and go and do what God's told you to do. Come on now. Not going to hoot and holler and get crazy. No, I'm just thanking Jesus for what He's done. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for what you... Thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my kids that aren't on drugs, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that the family's lining up with the Word. Come on. How about you? I'm excited about what God has done. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven and I got a mansion. Hallelujah. And I'm highly favored of the Lord. I'm blessed coming in and I'm more blessed going out. I'm created in His image. He didn't make junk. He made perfection. Yes, Lord, I was down and desolate, but now I'm on top, Jesus. Oh, I might not be there yet, but Lord, I'm almost there. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, Lord God, I see my family members being saved and set free. I see cousins and relatives, Lord God, that have been turned off to Jesus. But, Lord God, that religious spirit will be broken in Jesus' name. I'm going to praise You, Lord God, that their eyes will be opened. I'm going to praise You, Lord God, for even though I'm going through something, Lord God, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You till the popcorn bursts forward, Lord God. And there will be that fresh aroma of God everywhere. To praise You no matter what. No matter what they say, no matter what they think, Lord God, I want to praise You. Jesus just walked in the door. I mean, I don't know about you. I just thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for that nice car that You gave me. I don't know about you. When someone blessed me with a new car, I was excited. Thank You. Hallelujah. I danced around like a crazy fool. Praise Him. See, praise puts you on victory lane. God's already got you pulled up in victory lane. Do you realize, let me just close with this. He puts you on victory lane so that He can show the world His goodness through you. He puts you in there, and not second place, not third place. No, He puts you in first place so the world will look at you and say, how did God use a mess like that and put Him into a position like that? It's because I praised Him from the hell hole that I was in to where I am today. I want to praise Him all the way to that. I want them to be astounded. How did that person get where they're at? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. They didn't have a degree. They're not that smart. They ain't that pretty. But oh my God, look what they got. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? Don't get me with an extra Starbucks this morning. I tell you. Praising Him. Praise puts you on victory lane. God wants you to know that He loves you so much that He's created you in His image, that you are perfect in every way. All God's trying to do is get you to get a glimpse of who you are, the way He sees you. Don't buy the lie of the devil that you can't do this and you can't do that, or you'll never amount to that, or my family had this sickness and I'm going to be this sick. No, no, no. Break that curse today. Praise Him beyond that. Hey, my family didn't come from money, but I'm going to have some money. I'm going to have a whole bunch of money, and my kids' kids are going to be blessed. Come on now. Why? Because you praise Him. Praise. Praise. Praise brings power. Praise brings the whole atmosphere to a whole nother level. I don't know about you, I feel like I could jump 10 foot tall. Amen? Because when you begin to praise Him, all the junk that was in your trunk just got left. And all of a sudden you could jump a lot. You feel a little bit more free. You feel like, hey, I can accomplish anything. I can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't care what I can do it. I know. Hey, it's a big thing, but I'm not going alone. I got God on my side and He's going to help me. If you can do it your own, you don't need God. That's why you need God. That's why it's got to be so big, so giant, so large. The only way you can get it done is you need God. God doesn't give you the little plan. God gives you something that you're like, I don't understand how it's all going to get done. Don't worry about it. Just praise Him. He'll help you. He'll show you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll connect you to the right people to get you where you need to go. Did you get anything this morning? Did you appreciate what God's word is? Jehoshaphat. I mean, just think about that. I mean, just the name makes me laugh. Go Jehoshaphat. I mean, I hang around with Jehoshaphat, man. And he was smart enough to seek God. He was smart enough to ask and seek and knock. And all of a sudden, he had spoils for 3 days. 3 days worth of gold and silver. Can you imagine picking up all this water. And there was so much. That's how big your God is. So look at your situations through God's eyes. Look at it and say, hey, I'm not worried about that finance. I ain't worried about this. I ain't worried about No. I got, praise him to him. My God is bigger than any circumstances. That God that I serve, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sid Canu. You know, that Jehovah. He bigger than Muhammad. He's bigger than any of the stuff that's going on in this third war and all this stuff. I'm flying on 9/11. Twice. Flying at 6:30 in the morning. Last time I flew, two planes went into some places. And everyone goes, you go fly again on 9/11? I said, I have no fear. When people, I know they're going to be talking at the airport. I said, Lord, you're just setting me up. When I get on that plane, I should take that thing from the lady at Southwest Airlines and say, don't have no fear. Oh, hallelujah, that Jesus is here. Amen. And don't worry about 9/11 because there ain't no terrorists on there. I'm going to terrorize the terrorists. Amen. Not no fear. I'm flying. I'm in this plane. Well, you don't have to worry. We're getting to our destination. You guys say that pastor's crazy. You never know. You might see me. I might be locked up and they'd be saying, yeah, there's some crazy pastor supposed to fly 9/11 and go to Irvine, California. Couldn't make it for his meeting, but praise the Lord. Fly there at 6:30 in the morning and I fly back and forth. I'm flying twice a day. I don't fear that. Other people want, you know, Las Vegas is a prime location. And they said that they're going to attack Vegas. I don't care how much. Now, I got God. I mean, once again, all I got to do is praise him. We're going to confuse the enemy. He'll blow himself up somewhere before he even gets there.